William Byron dominates Darlington, but at the end of the day, it's all about Denny. This is our top story on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
It was a big day on Throwback Weekend for Denny Hamlin at Darlington Raceway as he captured career win number 56. Gets him out of a tie with Rusty Wallace in that category, and also back-to-back wins for just the third time in his career. So a big day for Denny Hamlin and a day of bitter disappointment for William Byron. Alexis, William Byron led 243 laps, but he didn't lead the last one.
Yeah, you know, the talk for much of the first half of the race was, are we going to see a perfect race? Something I don't think that has happened since, like, Jeff Burton did it in New Hampshire in 2000. Unfortunately for William Byron and for Hendrick Motorsports, that didn't come to be, with some things happening on the racetrack and pit cycles kind of getting jumbled upside down. He was not able to keep that lead, and we saw some exciting things happening at the end of that race. Rudy Fugel had left him out a little bit longer than he probably should have, thinking back on it. Though when you're the leader, you don't want to go too soon, because if you do, then you could potentially get yourself caught out by caution, which is exactly what happened in stage two to jumble things up. But when it was all said and done, Denny Hamlin's pit crew is really what got the victory yesterday at Darlington.
Denny Hamlin led twice for a total of 10 laps, of course, the last one being the most important. Brad Gilley, it's ironic to me a little bit that these races, sometimes the worst place to be late in a race is the leader.
Yeah, that's true, because everyone gets to react to you, or everyone else gets to change their strategy based on what they're doing versus you. And if you're the leader, to Alexis' point, for Rudy Fugel, staying out later helped them in a prior stage when the wheel nut came off of Brad Keselowski's car and a caution came out. That was the advantage to William Byron. When you're in the final stage of the race and people start short pitting, boy, that's a tough spot to be in, because you don't want to get caught by a potential caution. But on the other hand, you don't want to get caught by the rest of the field, because they are faster than you with fresher tires. And ultimately, that's what happened. They got caught by the rest of the field. But it's a hard place to be, because it's real easy to say, well, I'm going to do what you're not doing. It's a harder thing to say, we've set the bar today, now we have to continue to raise it.
Tough spot to be in sometimes as the leader late in a race. You know, there's always crowd reaction when you hear the introductions of the drivers. Some of them get the polite, you know, and then others, it's a chorus of boos. And then you introduce some other drivers and they get a lot of cheers. Denny Hamlin realizes he's a bit polarizing.
You love getting, you know, excitement out of the people. You like making them feel a sort of way, whatever way that might be, positive or negative. It's good to know that you have that effect on someone. And so, I don't know. I love the fans. You know, they don't really love me that much, but, you know, I think it's just my personality, and I understand that, and, you know, I bring it upon myself most times. But I love it, and I love the reaction that I get out of people.
Alexis, I think he's honest about that. I don't know that Denny needs the adoration, so to speak.
Yeah, I think he's 1,000% honest when he says those things. I mean, if you have spent any time with him, or if you've listened to his podcast, those things don't bother him. They seem to roll off, you know, his back, which is a good thing, because if you were anywhere near the broadcast yesterday, or, you know, in Darlington proper, you probably heard the boos when he got out of his number 11 race car at the end of the race. But I also think, to a certain extent, it fuels him. So it doesn't bother him, but I think it also fuels him. You know, he came out with the flag last week. Obviously, we found out a little bit later that a fan had gifted it to him, but Denny Hamlin, the 11 against the world, he is that. I think he kind of personifies that, and seeing how he reacts to the boos or doesn't react, I think is, just showcases that.
Brad Gilley, the thing I enjoy about that is he owns it.
He does. And I will agree, he doesn't need the adoration, but I do think he needs the attention. Look, for a long time, Denny Hamlin spent most of his career largely, I don't want to say unnoticed. That's a bit extreme. But here's a guy who was winning multiple races a year, but then you would see him show up in souvenir sales. You would see him show up in, you know, metrics that measure exposure and all of that. And they weren't even top 10 on the list. I mean, it was weird to see that it was literally just indifferent to a guy who was going out there winning races. And I'm sure after a certain point, you're like, hey, look at me. You know, here's a guy who was contending for championships and doing a lot of different things throughout really all of his career. And but now I think he enjoys the attention. He embraces it. One thing I do think is turning, though. You know, I feel like Denny for the last couple of years made himself unlikable. Now I feel like he's making himself polarizing. And that's a good thing, because that means now you have people on your side and you have people against you. That's a fun debate to have. He's turning a lot of people to the positive.
I think his podcast has been a huge step in the right direction. When I listen to it or watch it, I get a lot of good information. When he's not being political, when he's talking about the race and the feedback in the race, I love that from Denny Hamlin. Of course, late in the race, it looked like Ryan Blaney was going to be the guy. He came on after that pit cycle that Alexis alluded to, kind of got William Byron back in the pack. It looked like Tyler Reddick was going to win it. And then methodically, Ryan Blaney ran down Tyler Reddick, passed him, and as soon as he takes the lead with four laps to go, that's when Kyle Larson gets turned around, brings out the yellow, and that leads to Denny Hamlin winning by his pit crew, getting him off pit road first. Let's hear from Blaney.
I thought we had a great shot to win before, you know, the yellow. Tracked those guys down from a long way, and just the yellow came out and lost the lead on pit road, lost front row, and just didn't really have a shot after that. But, definitely didn't want to see the yellow for sure. But that's the way it goes.
Alexis, this could have been kind of redemption Sunday for Blaney. It's been a rough start to the year, but they showed, I felt like, that they're still very competitive, and it's probably just a matter of time.
I think it's absolutely just a matter of time. When you look at that 12 team, I feel like even though they don't have any wins to show for it in the 2025 column, I think that they have been one of the best race cars on the racetrack week in and week out. They've had little things that have caused issues. They've had two blown engines and, you know, other things, pit crew mistakes that have really hampered them being able to really flex the muscle and show just how strong they are with speed and other things at the racetrack. But you're right, it's only a matter of time. I think they do need to clean things up on pit road. Yesterday, twice they had incidents. Obviously, the late race one was the one that was the most costly, cost them the lead and the win. But also, I think there was one in the middle of the race that got them mired back in traffic, and Blaney had to race back up through the field. So I think they need to clean things up on pit road and a few other things internally, but they are fast and they are going to get to victory lane.
Brad, you alluded to souvenir sales and popularity a moment ago. This is a guy that has no problem with that. I feel like it just almost organically, I hate saying that, that Ryan Blaney has become an easy crowd favorite. There's just a lot to like about him.
Yeah, and for a lot of reasons. Look, he's good. He wins races. He's a champion of our sport, and that's a great thing. He's very entertaining. If you're at the racetrack and you've got your racing electronic scanner, tune into the number 12, especially if they're having a bad day. I can promise you'll be entertained. But he is just simply a good person as well. And look, I would have been furious yesterday if I was Ryan Blaney as that late race caution came out. I mean, you literally have battled your way through the field twice and probably for about the fifth race of eight races this year have had the fastest car on the racetrack, and all of a sudden something different just took it away. And look at the class that he exhibited in his post-race interview. There's a good reason why Ryan Blaney is so likable.
So William Byron got the season off to a great start. He won back-to-back Daytona 500s. Not a lot of reason to feel sorry for him. But yesterday, he almost threw a no-hitter at the circuit with his performance at Darlington. He wound up leading, I think it was 243 laps. That's an incredible amount, Alexis. But he came up short. Let's hear from him.
You know, it stings right now for sure. But, I'm just – again, like, really proud of the fact that we can have that dominant of a race, and it was looking good. So we just gotta keep that up, and it sucks the way that it played out. But at the same time, you know, I was happy with our pit stop there in the last one and being able to rebound and have a shot. So just gotta look at everything and review it and hopefully be a little bit better.
They did rebound to a runner-up finish. That's usually not that much reason to be disappointed, but I get it. Alexis, this is not a team, though. This is not like, oh, say, it had been Ricky Stenhouse Jr. that led all day long and at the end got the rug pulled out from under him, and you're going like, that'll never happen again. You know William Byron's going to be back up there again, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, you look at their season so far, clearly it's been a great one. They have the points lead by 49 points over Denny Hamlin for the regular season points. Yesterday, they finished first in both stages, collected a ton of points. They are strong week in and week out, and I think they're always somebody that you have to look at as being a contender no matter where we go. Yes, it was unfortunate. I think there was, you know, some people that probably thought, okay, well, if we're going to see a race that is dominated this much, you know, they say, you know, puts on a snooze fest, all of those things. When you talk about a driver who leads that many laps, it would have been cool to kind of see a historic moment of him going and doing a quote unquote no hitter. But when we knew that wasn't going to happen, you know, you do feel bad for him, but at the same time, he collected a ton of points and had a great day. So yes, it's a little bit upsetting if you're a 24 fan and a William Byron fan that it didn't make it happen yesterday, but also he's got fast race cars and he's having a heck of a season. So you got to be feeling pretty good about that.
Subject of snooze fest, I imagine that the Fox broadcast team was glad to have Kyle and Richard Petty in the booth for about
no kidding. Yeah.
And a sleeveless Greg Biffle.
By the way, that was awesome. Biffle talking about his relief efforts in Western North Carolina. Really good stuff. I applaud Fox for filling in the gaps in what could have been a really, really long day. Let's give you the Toyota performance report. Of course, it was a pretty good one. They were heavy in the single digits. Denny Hamlin wins it. Christopher Bell was third. Fourth goes to Tyler Reddick. Ty Gibbs, way to go, Ty. He finally got out of the ditch, had a top 10 finish. He was ninth. 16th to Eric Jones, 21st to Bubba Wallace. Chase Briscoe was 28th. And 34th belongs to Riley Herbst, and that is our Toyota Performance Report.
For the latest Toyota Gazoo Racing information, visit TGRNA.com. We'll be right back.
This is the sound of a Toyota Cup car. And this is the sound of a Toyota Top Fuel Dragster. This is the sound of a Toyota GR Supra deep in a drift. And this is the sound of Denny Hamlin celebrating after stuffing the competition. You in? Get up to speed at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmie Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmie Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmie Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention. Very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row? Nobody's done five in a row.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Doug Rice, Alexis Erickson, and Brad Gilley with you. And let's talk a little bit about this chatter now that's around Denny Hamlin. This was his 56th career win. Breaks the tie that he had on 11th place with Rusty Wallace, who's now got 55. You know Rusty's just gritting his teeth right now. So Denny continues to mount impressive numbers. He is in second place in NASCAR Cup Series points right now after his win. Back-to-back wins at Darlington. Brad, do you want to jump on the bandwagon bus for Denny Hamlin finally winning a title? It's coming by and it's really slow right now.
No, I wouldn't jump on after eight races, jump on any bandwagon bus for anyone winning a title. I will, however, jump on the bandwagon bus for Denny Hamlin getting 60 career victories. And we talked about it last week when he got 55. Well, now 56 seems that much closer that he only needs four more. And I think a lot of people are even talking about, look, he just passed Rusty Wallace. Next on the list is Kevin Harvick. And he's not too far away from that. And if he continues this trend of winning, maybe that happens this year. That might be a big, bold statement to make, but I would be willing to jump on that bus. I'm not willing to jump on a championship bus right now.
All right, Alexis, I've got extra tickets for the Denny Hamlin Championship Bandwagon Bus. Do you want to buy one?
Not right now. I mean, I agree with Brad wholeheartedly that it's way too early in the season to jump on anybody's bandwagon bus. I will say last week when the question was posed whether or not Denny would get to 60 wins, I said I didn't think that it was going to happen because of his age and, you know, just what we have seen as far as the trends are concerned with drivers in that part of their career. Now, obviously, he followed it up with another win, and so I'm thinking, ooh, I don't know, maybe I need to go back on that. And I think he probably wants to get to 61 wins. I know 60 has been the number he said, but I think 61 would actually pass Harvick on the list instead of Ty Harvick on the list. So, you know, I'm changing my tune a little bit on whether or not he can do that, but I still am not sure it's going to be such an easy feat.
All right, Brad, I don't normally ask what we want to see as far as picking favorites and who do you like. Do you want to see Denny get a championship before he exits stage left, or is he going to be relegated to Mark Martin land?
Again, and I hate to compare him to Mark Martin because I really like Mark Martin. I'm not saying I don't like him. But no,
wow, that's saying a lot.
In the spirit of cheering on good storylines, I don't know for me that that is necessarily a great storyline. And maybe, you know, it might be able to take away some of my snark if he ends up doing it when it comes to Denny. But I think the good storyline for me to cheer on, again, is going to that next mark, that 60 wins, or to Alexis' point, that 61 wins. Heck, maybe he can catch Kyle Busch, you know, and grab a few more. Kyle Busch, of course, I still don't think is done winning, so that target's going to move just a little bit. But I feel like that's a good storyline. I do feel like a good storyline, however, in Denny's favor. Get him in the championship four. That to me would be a good storyline because then, man, that is going to be the one thing that's talked about. And so I would root for that storyline. How about that?
I like that. But here, I think those storylines run dual to what you're saying. If he gets to 60, then we're automatically going to be piling on and talking about winning that title. Where do you stand on this, Alexis?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would like to see him win. I mean, when you think about somebody who has done a lot of great things in our sport, and that's the pinnacle, right? Yes, everybody says, and even I think Denny on occasion has said, you know, these wins mean more than championships, most likely because he doesn't yet have that championship. But I just feel like when you're talking about someone who has done as much as he has done and has won as much as he has won, I think personally it would be a good story for him to finally conquer, you know, that beast, to get that monkey off his back, to finally make it, you know, to holding up that cup trophy. I think that would be a good story. I would like to see that. I'm sure, judging off of what we heard in the grandstands yesterday after he got out of his car, maybe I'm, you know, alone on the mountain as far as that thinking is concerned. But I think he could go down with a championship, and even without, but definitely with a championship, as one of the greatest of our sport. So I think that
Brad,
would be great.
Did you want to tack onto that?
It's funny, like, again, I think Hamlin is turning some people around, but my gosh, that would be amazing. It would be a really good story to see him a part of that championship four at the end of the season. And, you know, just look, this is a great story to ride. And like I said before, Denny has now made himself polarizing, which makes it fun because you either want to root for him or you want to root against him. And I don't think that there is any in between.
If you're familiar with the comic strip Charlie Brown, Charlie always wants to kick a football. His good friend Lucy, who I question her, I think she's not a nice person, always pulls the football away when Charlie Brown gets ready to kick it. He is yet to ever kick the doggone football. I feel it's almost Denny Hamlin in the Charlie Brown thing. He's done all these other things, three Daytonas, all these other race wins, but he's not kicked the football yet. We'll see if he does. Kyle Larson stayed out on the track for a long time yesterday. We're going to talk about being 100 laps down and influencing the race next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Riders, start your engine!
Atlanta Motor Speedway is built for battles. High speeds, tight packs, dramatic finishes.
Crossover move, they're three wide for the lead.
But you've never seen Atlanta Motor Speedway like this, under the lights, where every moment feels bigger. Experience the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, Saturday, June 28th, under the lights in Atlanta. Get your tickets now at AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at SpeedwayCharities.org.
Thanks a bunch for joining us here on Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice with Brad Gilley and Alexis Erickson. Before we jump into Kyle Larson being unduly responsible for the end of the race by being out there when he shouldn't have been, guys, I don't know if you're familiar. As I'm wont to do on Sunday nights, I'm up watching Naked and Afraid, okay? Because I don't have much of a life. But they're new episodes now, so I don't know how they end. And so I'm watching it, and this promo pops up on Discovery Channel, and it's about something called the Red Bull Soapbox Race, and it premieres April 29th on Discovery, hosted by Dale Earnhardt Jr. Of course, he's everywhere, and our good buddy from Motor Racing Network, Mike Bagley. Were you guys aware of this? Cool.
No. I was not. No,
I'm aware of the race, but I'm not aware that they were going to be the two announcing it. That's
so
awesome.
That's cool. I'm really happy for Mike. Dale Jr. gets everything. I mean, I'm happy for Dale, but it's not like he needed that to propel his fame. But Mike Bagley going to be on the Discovery Channel with the Red Bull Soapbox Race. It looks crazy. I watched a little bit of the previews, and by the way, the three people made it 21 days on Naked and Afraid. So
did it say when it aired? Did you write that down?
It's wait, April 29th at 9 p.m. That's
April 29th. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have to check that out.
Had to keep track of that between the people getting kicked off the island. Anyway. Never mind. All right. Sorry I went down that rabbit hole. Brad Gilead, I was listening to a little bit of your post-race show on Sirius, and you talked about this, and I was thinking at the time that it happened. Kyle Larson is out on the racetrack. He spins with four laps to go, directly keeps Ryan Blaney from winning the race. But the bigger question is, did he even belong out on the racetrack at that point?
He did not, not in my opinion. And just for the quick backstory, NASCAR's new damaged vehicle policy rules do allow for this. You know, in the past, we would see someone wreck. They'd go back to the garage for 60 laps. They'd come back out. Their car would look like a modified with no hood and fenders and all of that. And then it was like, okay, we need to go away from that because maybe these cars aren't safe to be on the racetrack or they're going to throw debris or different things like that. So then we had the 7-minute clock. What evolved to be the 7-minute clock? It changed over time where you had that amount of time on pit road to exact repairs to your car. Well, now NASCAR says you can indeed go back to the garage. You get one chance to make minimum speed, and if you don't, you're out of the race. But if you do, you can continue to the race. So Kyle Larson finished second to last. JJ Yaley was last at Darlington Raceway. JJ Yaley ran 30 laps. Kyle Larson, at the time of this wreck, was 160 laps down, just over 160 laps down. With five to go, he was going to have to make up 72 laps to catch the next driver on the track, which would have been Josh Berry. That was not going to happen. And I understand. Let's go out there. Let's learn what we can, so on and so forth. But there does come a point where now you're not going to gain anything. Even if they would have passed Josh Berry, it would not have impacted their points total anyway, because those last positions only pay 1 point. But at a certain point, you need to say, we're not a part of the show. Let's make sure that we don't influence the show. And unfortunately, they did. There was no reason for them to be out on that racetrack with five laps to go, in my opinion.
Alexis, should they have stayed in the garage?
I mean, I can't argue that. I understand why they wanted to fix the car and to do all of the things. I mean, Cliff Daniels said after the race that there were multiple reasons why. Number one, to give their team reps in even going through the damaged vehicle policy as it is today, because of the fact that for years it wasn't like that. As Brad alluded to, you couldn't go in the garage and do that. So a lot of the crew members don't have experience with that, especially not with the next gen car. So doing that, going through the reps, fixing the car, getting it back out there, I 1,000% agree with all of those things. But as Brad said, when you're coming down to five to go, you know, in that time zone, in that time frame where there are so many things happening that you could potentially impact the outcome of the race in a not favorable way, just pull over, man. Like, it's not worth it. You know, I will argue a little bit. I think obviously if that caution did not come out, then it would not have put Blaney and his team in a situation where he loses spots on pit road. But I'm not sure that you can say Kyle Larson lost Blaney the race. I think Blaney's pit crew, unfortunately, lost Blaney the race.
I think Kyle Larson had a whole lot to do
with
it.
Well, I mean, he did. He's
Blaney
certain.
The winner thanked Kyle Larson.
He certainly did. But I also think that if Blaney's pit crew had been able to get him out in the same position that he entered pit road in, that might have been a moot point. Is what I'm saying.
If the team is using, well, we need the data from the car for that amount of time because, you know, you get all that SMT data. Their data was corrupted because Kyle Larson's not out there turning premium laps. He's just out there riding around in a damaged race car, 160 laps down. I'm like you, Brad. When I heard you say that, I went like, yeah, that I didn't mind the old DVP. I didn't mind it. If you went into the garage, you were done. Good night. Yeah. Have a nice day. Go home early.
Pull off
I
with 10 to
like
go.
I didn't feel detracted from anybody.
Well, yeah,
I mean, you weren't going to learn any. Pull off with 10 to go. I get going back out there and seeing what you can learn and what you can do, what's important to fix on the car and what's not important. I mean, those are pretty valuable things for them to be able to learn. But pull off with 10 to go. There was nothing more to gain at that point.
And I think it should be self-policing. I mean, Brad, you had talked about this in the break where you know, folks had called into the post-race show and said, oh, well, maybe NASCAR should make a rule. No, we don't need any more rules. I think as a driver and a team, you should say, okay, well, I don't want to be a factor in impacting this race. I'm going to pull off the racetrack at this point. I think, unfortunately, the waters get a little bit cloudy and muddy with the old DVP policy, because you have situations like Josh Berry, I forget what racetrack it was, where he just got towed into the infield, and then he was not able to continue on to his race when he very well could have if he had just gotten four fresh tires. So I think there are reasons why NASCAR decided to reinstitute this policy where you can go in the garage and fix your car, and I think that that was a good thing. But yeah, we just have to use common sense, you know?
Well, sometimes that's a rare commodity. I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand where the teams are coming from. They want data collection. I get it. But when that interferes, like Brad, I liked what you said. When you reach a point that staying out will not gain you anything else, take it to the garage. Get out. Don't be a part of the story. This was like the officials deciding the end of the race. This was a non-factor car directly impacting the end of the race. Throwback weekend. Is it time to throw it back? We'll talk about that next.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Race fans, get ready. Nashville's NASCAR Night Race is coming your way. Three nights, three action-packed races. May 30th through June 1st, the stars of NASCAR battle under the lights at Nashville Super Speedway. It all starts Friday with the Rackley Roofing 200 Craftsman Truck Series, followed by the Tennessee Lottery 250 Xfinity Series Showdown on Saturday, and then Sunday night is the NASCAR Cup Series under the primetime lights. Don't miss your shot to witness NASCAR history in Music City and rub shoulders with all the Nashville stars. Get tickets now at NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com.
I'm Eric Almirola, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead. Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Appreciate you being here with us on Fast Talk. I vividly remember the first time they had throwback weekend at Darlington. I think it was Alexis Erickson and myself. We made a trip down on Friday just to see all the cool cars. That was a pretty neat experience, Alexis.
It was very cool. I mean, and at that time, the teams were like, they were going all out. They were changing to old-timey uniforms. And, I mean, everything that you could do to kind of throw a nod to that era was done. And it was almost like a time machine stepping into the garage that day, I remember.
Eric Almirola even did a throwback facial hair thing, Brad, to where he had Richard Petty's one-time Fu Manchu going.
Yeah, he did. Kyle Larson looked like Kyle Petty with a wig and a mustache and a bunch of fun things and all of that. And ironically, is that the proper use of this? The race-winning driver, Carl Edwards, that day, that weekend, was not in a throwback car. So that's the way that one went.
Unfortunate. So before we get into the main topic of this, was there a favorite? Alexis, we'll start with you on the Cup side. I think 19 teams did throwback schemes. for the Cookout 400. Was there one that jumped off the board for you?
Well, I thought the two of Austin Cindric throwback to Dale Earnhardt was really great. I also think, and a lot of people say this maybe isn't in the spirit of things, but Josh Berry's throwback to the IndyCar, Clark IndyCar, that the Wood brothers actually pitted and won an Indy 500 with, I thought was really cool too.
Yeah, I would agree. I agree. Like Josh Berry's, I'm a bigger fan of in that regard because it has a great story. And look, we all have our own rules. I think if you're going to throw back to something, you need to look at the car and it's the same colors, same fonts and all of that and go, that's what that is. Austin Cindric was. I'll take race winner Denny Hamlin. It was a throwback to a Carl Edwards Office Depot paint scheme. And it was the exact paint scheme, which you looked at Denny Hamlin's car and you knew exactly what that was. So those were probably my top three.
Yeah, I agree on all that. And of course, since my allegiance before I got into the game was to the Petties, Eric Jones is 43. That looked pretty good. By the way, it was cool having Richard and Kyle Petty on the Fox broadcast for a good bit yesterday. All that being said, we did throwback weekend, but there are drivers, I think Chase Elliott among them, Kyle Busch, that think that the throwback weekend, Brad Gilley, has run its course, and we need to course correct here. Where are you on this?
I think it has. In fact, and we've talked about this amongst ourselves before in just casual conversation. I felt it already had, but this was Darlington's 75th anniversary year. This is Darlington, so I get let's keep it going. And I know they've expanded things around it with the NASCAR alumni thing. You see a lot of old drivers there and all of that. But at a certain point, okay, let's do something new. Let's do something different. I feel like it's run its course. And you go back and I think of a lot of historical things, and I know we're talking about history, but some of those paint schemes, I thought, man, if they win the race, this is going to confuse a lot of people when they go back and look at the pictures later on.
Yeah, I get that. Alexis, what are you thinking about throwback? Is it time to throw it back?
You know, I think there's a way to continue to honor the history of our sport at, you know, what better place to do that than at Darlington that maybe isn't centered around the paint schemes? Because I think the paint schemes are the things that are, you know, the stickler for people. Like, you know, Denny Hamlin talked about, and I've heard a few other people mention it, you know, for these sponsors that are spending millions of dollars to have four or five different weeks with their paint scheme on the car, they don't want to throw it back to a different paint scheme that doesn't honor their brand and what they're trying to represent. And I totally get that. I mean, where we are right now with the sponsorship model is not where we were when this started. And so we have to consider that. But you've said a couple times on this broadcast how cool it was to have Richard and Kyle Petty in the broadcast booth. Let's keep that. Let's keep having the Hall of Famers, you know, the Wood brothers. It's their 75th anniversary, too. And their family and team members did the command. That's very cool. You had a lot of people that were Hall of Famers that were there representing the sport that the fans got to mingle with and have autograph sessions with and talk to at tweet-ups and certain things. That's very cool. You know, Brad Keselowski talked about on Twitter about going out into the fan zone and seeing fans in throwback crew shirts and really embracing the weekend, talking to people and hearing them say that that's a big reason why they come to this weekend because, you know, it's a thrill for them to be able to kind of look back at the history of our sport. So I think maybe we just don't have the thing that the linchpin of it all be the paint schemes. It doesn't have to be that. Let's reimagine it to still honor what, you know, the history and the legends of our sport, but just maybe do it in a different way.
I agree with you 100%. I think they put too much weight on the paint scheme part. There are so many other things that you can do, like they did in North Wilkesboro. Brad, you and I were up there for the very first All-Star race back at North Wilkesboro, and that felt like you'd been in a time tunnel and gone back 50 years, but it wasn't centered around look-alike paint schemes. They pulled it off.
Yeah, that's a great point. You can honor your history, and I like what Alexis is talking about. There are plenty of ways where you can do that and throw back. I don't know that if it stays moving forward, teams need to necessarily feel the obligation that we have to do a special paint scheme. And people had talked about, well, only half the field had done it. I don't know that we've ever really had much more than half the field ever do throwback paint schemes anyway, but there are a lot of ways to do it. It's alumni weekend. Maybe you could feature, you know, three different drivers or something like that and plan to have three different cars honor them and not make it such a, you know, it's fun when you see them and go, wow, I know what that one is. It's another thing when you look at it and go, help me out here. I don't understand
what they're doing. Yeah.
And by the way, if you're going to put out a throwback, don't just show me the picture of the car that you're going to race. Show me the picture of the car that you're throwing back to as well. That's one of my annoyances.
Also, don't throw back to a late model that you ran 15 years ago. We don't care. We just don't care. To the bigger picture here, I think sometimes this sport gets enamored with our history. And we worry too much about what was. And we are throwing back. And we're looking back like, oh, that was the golden age of NASCAR racing. And can't we have that again? Maybe we need to be looking down the road at what we can do to get more people and younger people and a bigger demographic interested in the sport instead of living in the past 50 years ago, 75 years ago. And I love that stuff too, because I was around for a lot of it, but we need to be looking ahead. And I will challenge Fox next year when they get ready to do the Daytona 500 to not have a highlight of Dale Earnhardt winning. They can't do it, Brad. They cannot do it.
The 1979 Daytona 500. There have been plenty of cool finishes since then. Denny Hamlin's first win, like photo finish with Martin Truex Jr. That's one that just jumps out at me and comes to mind. I mean, there have been a lot of cool Daytona 500s that weren't just those two.
Yeah, that it's easy to go to those two, and I'm taking nothing away from them, but there's been a lot of other great races there. Anyway, I digress. Coming up, we are going to break it down and chat a little bit about green flag, black flags.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
I'm Ty Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Cookout 400 is in the books at Darlington Raceway. Denny Hamlin gets the win, number 5-6 on his career, breaks a tie with Rusty Wallace, and all is looking pretty good for Denny right now. Second place in points with everything else going on in his world. I got to commend Denny Hamlin for having the clear vision to pick up a couple of wins. This one was assisted by the late race wreck, but he went out and took advantage, and his pit crew got him out first. It is time now for the legacy part of our show with a little green flag, black flag.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
Right. Sticky buttons.
Get you every time.
I know, they do, they do. All right, we read carefully prepared statements composed by professional writers and the greatest minds in the sport, and we run them by our panel. They're also some of the greatest minds in the sport, so we see what happens if they give it a green flag. Yeah, that's what you hear right there. If they give it a black flag because they disagree, that's right. And if they're all in harmony, there you go. I think we start off with Doug Rice from the
Driver.
Whoa, hold on.
Those sticky buttons again.
Hold on.
Yeah, we have them all.
All right, here we go. I'm going to start out with Doug Rice here. Denny Hamlin will win 5 races this season, and 3 of them will be in a row.
I've got a black flag that I think he could win the 5 races, but 3 in a row, that's a Christopher Bell territory.
Yeah. Yeah. How about it, Alexis Erickson?
Well, you know, I went out on a limb with Christopher Bell, and we're going to Bristol, where Denny Hamlin is the defending winner. He's pretty good at that racetrack. So, you know what? Why not? I'll go out on a limb for Denny Hamlin. I say he wins 3 in a row. I'm going to give it a green flag. I was going to give it a green flag for the 3 in a row, but not the 5 wins this season. But I guess I can't do that, huh? I'll give him the 5. I'll give him the 5 wins, too. Why not?
The 3 in a row, it comes like this. This third one comes this week.
Yes.
This is this week. Okay.
Correct.
Gotcha. Brad Dilley.
Green flag all the way. And look, I don't feel like it's going out on a limb saying a guy could win 3 in a row when he was so successful at the prior track or at the next track last year, like Denny Hamlin was when he won at Bristol. And 5 in a row, yeah, I gave that to him last week as well.
All right.
Not, 5 total, not 5 in a row.
Let
me clarify.
You're an optimist. That's right. All right, here we go.
Where he dropped the I beat all your favorite drivers or something.
I think
like.
So.
It was the night race of 2023.
Yeah. Classic. And then what was it? Somebody in his family said, don't do that again.
His father. Yeah. After he did it in the clash of 2024, his father said,
don't do that again.
Yeah, give it a rest.
Way to go, Dad.
It's already old. All right, here we go. Let's go to Alexis Erickson for this one. The Bristol Gladiator sword has become cooler than a grandfather clock as a trophy.
Oh, man. Look, I think they're both really cool, but kind of in their own way. I'm going to say green flag just because, I mean, who doesn't want to hold a sword? I might toss this one to Doug next because you have a sword, don't you? You have a sword from Bristol.
Yeah. Folks at Bristol gave me one to celebrate my retirement. I think it's as cool as it is. I think it's got a little catching up to do because the grandfather clock has such a legacy. Ask me that again in 10 years, and I'll probably say it is.
Brad Gilley.
I'll say black flag because I don't want to put one above the other. And look, I guess you could have a sword hanging on your wall, but a grandfather clock can sit in the living room and you can set that thing to chime every 15 minutes if you want. Nice little reminder of what you've done.
Very good. All right, Brad, we'll start with you on this one. John Wayne on this day in history, 55 years ago, won his only Oscar in the 1970 classic True Grit. The driver displaying the most grit right now is Ryan Blaney.
I would say black flag. I think he's displaying the most unfortunate luck and mishaps along the way.
All right, Doug Rice.
For most people today, the first part of that question is you have to explain who is John Wayne.
Well,
I saw True Grit like 10 years ago. Oh, wait, it was a remake.
It was a remake. Black flag. No.
Not Ryan. Who's showing the most true grit for you?
The guy that won the race.
There you go.
With everything that's going on around in his world right now, lawsuits, another kid on the way, co-owning a race team, for him to go out and win back-to-back races, that's got some John Wayne swagger to it.
All right, Alexis.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go black flag too and agree with Doug. I would put Denny in that category for sure.
All right. Final question, Doug Rice, goes to you. Next year, everyone should have to throw back to their first car, like Doug's pea green 68 Chevelle.
I got my dad gave me that. I think that was ultimate revenge for him. You know what? I kind of like that. Yes. Yeah. Let's throw back to the first car that you ever owned. Your first driver. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Lexus Ericsson.
Yeah, but when you're talking about the drivers in the field today, most of them are not throwing back to 68 Chevelles. They're throwing back to like 1995 Honda Accords or something, you know, which is cool, I guess, but it's a little bit different there. I'm going to say Black Flag.
All right, Brad, what do you think?
Hey, I'd love to be out there on the track with a 1984 red Mazda SE5 pickup truck. Green flag.
Bet you wish you had that now.
I wish I hadn't run it into a tree.
Story to come.
Unfortunate for you and the tree.
Yeah.
All right. So that puts the wraps on Green Flag, Black Flag. Thanks a lot for playing along. We'll take a timeout and we'll come back with one last thing.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago. To care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
PRN. By the way, PRN will be very busy coming up as they will be heading up to Bristol Motor Speedway. Brad Gilley, you looking forward to sitting in the anchor chair for that one?
I am. Triple header weekend. We've got the NASCAR Racing Network for Trucks on Thursday. No, on Friday. I'm getting ahead of myself here. And then, of course, the Xfinity Series on Saturday, the SIAPS 300, and the Food City 500. Yes, for several reasons, Doug, because you know I love that part of the country. Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee is one of the most, if not the most, in my opinion, beautiful parts of our country. And to be able to go out there and explore and go to one of the coolest tracks on the schedule, absolutely, very much so.
Yeah, it's a highlight moment. We'll see if Denny Hamlin can win three in a row there. What's it time for, Kent?
One last thing.
All right, this is where we get to put a button on our thoughts. It can be about racing or anything else going on in the known or unknown universe. Let's start off with you, Brad.
All right, I was thinking about this last week, actually, when Denny Hamlin won Martinsville Speedway, which he had done several times. Martinsville is the oldest track on the schedule. It was there when NASCAR was formed. It was there as part of the 1949 season. The next year, 1950, Darlington made it onto the schedule, the second oldest track, the original paved super speedway in our sport. You look at Richmond, 1953, although it's evolved since then. You look at Charlotte Motor Speedway, 1960, Bristol, 1961, Daytona, 1950. Talladega, 1969. You talk about throwbacks in our sport. We don't rebuild our stadiums. We do rebuild the stadium portion of it, but the racetracks, for the most part, stay the same and stay in the same place. That's a pretty cool thing. You go to Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Coca-Cola 600, you're going to see a lot of Charlotte Motor Speedway that was there in 1960. You go to Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend, the terrain, everything around this racetrack, you can see a lot of original Bristol there. Our history is very much preserved. We are literally a throwback sport, but in a very cool, modern way, and we're very fortunate for that.
It's a really, really good point, Brad. That's excellent summation there, and I don't think we will ever have any more new purpose-built speedways.
I don't think so either.
The capital investment there, Alexis, is just too much. Alexis, what are you thinking about?
Well, I just wanted to mention the fact that I used to travel quite a bit for Performance Racing Network. I used to go to every race that we had. Then COVID hit. Then I became a mom, and my travel schedule just isn't what it used to be. But this weekend, I do get to go to Bristol Motor Speedway, which I'm very excited about. It's one of my favorite racetracks that we race at. And I know Brad already alluded to it a little bit, but we'll have the truck race coverage from the NASCAR Racing Network, kind of powered by PRN this weekend. That's at 7 o'clock on Friday night. Saturday, we've got 2 o'clock practice and qualifying, the Sy Apps 300 NASCAR Xfinity Series race at 4:30 on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's the Food City 500. Last year we saw, you know, obviously crazy things happen with the tires. I don't think we're going to see that again, but I know we will for sure see a good race. So if you're out in Bristol and you see me, say hi. If not, please tune into our coverage. It's going to be great.
Do all of that. Make Alexis's day. One of the last times I was at Bristol, Brad Gilley and I found a neat biker bar near the racetrack.
Oh, yeah.
The only downside was it was right before the race, so we're in there drinking Coke Zeros instead of a real libation. But it's a cool spot. I don't even know if it's still there, but random thoughts from Bristol. We talked about new speedways, and there probably won't be any more new big speedways built, but there has been a new structure right next to Charlotte Motor Speedway. It is a purpose-built road course called 10 Tents Motor Club, and it's where folks who have exotic and high-end cars can go play, and they can have specific races and SCCA events and all sorts of vintage car racing. And I'm 70 years old. I just turned 70 back in March. I had never really paid any attention to vintage car racing. I got a call that said, do you want to come do this on PA? Sure. I spent the next 10 days drinking out of a fire hose to find out about vintage Trans Am car racing. Thank you, Ralph Shaheen. He does such a great job calling the races that when I found him on YouTube, I felt like I was brought up to date. Went over, did the PA for that, did the PA for a Pro-Am event where drivers were paired with an amateur who paid a lot of money to race with them. Surprisingly, it was won by Jeff Gordon. But there are always new experiences out there to be had, and I was thrilled with it. I didn't know what I was going to react to it with it, but it was great. Special thanks to Matt Yoakum and Jose Castillo for tagging along and helping cover that event. And guys, I know that we've kind of been not vitally involved with the construction of this, but I think Speedway Motorsports and Hendrick have also teamed up on this. I think they've got something really special going on there, Brad.
Yeah, I would agree. And you look at what happened for the Heritage Invitational this past weekend and go to the 10 Tents Motor Club social media. It is literally a who's who of car people. From the ones we know within our sport, the Ray Evernhams, the Jeff Gordons people you mentioned, to people like Wayne Carini and Ed Bolian and Schmi, and a lot of people you might see on YouTube or various car shows out there. I mean, for this inaugural event for 10 Tents, I don't know that they could have done it any better, and I don't know that anyone was off the list. And looking at the amazing cars that were there, wow. I mean, it is truly something special that was built next to Charlotte Motor Speedway.
The Friday portion was dedicated to the vintage Trans Am. Saturday was dedicated to a very, very high-end car show. So they have built on something special. Well, let's go ahead, while we got about a half a minute here, predict Bristol this weekend. Alexis, we talked about Denny winning three in a row. Is this where he does it?
Yeah, well, I said green flag and green flag, black flag, that he would win three in a row. And I think if he's going to do it, it's going to be this weekend. I mean, obviously, he is very good at Bristol Motor Speedway, and he already has two wins in a row. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this weekend.
Brad Gilley.
Blaney's luck turns around. Put that 12 in victory lane.
Ah, oh, man. Thanks for taking that away from me.
you can use it, too.
I think the guy that dominated Darlington gets a W at Bristol. William Byer, man, that car has been bulletproof all year long. Hey, thanks a lot to everybody that makes this show possible. We'll regroup next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.